Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Jumping Monkeys is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte, episode 5 for July 1st, 2007. Manic Mummies! Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. Jump. Jumping Monkeys number 5.
Yay.
I always like a good clean start to a podcast.
Yeah, well, you could tell me we were starting.
I should have. Yeah, if this were like the screensavers, we'd have somebody counting five, four, three, pointing at you. The whole thing, the lights would come on.
It's the screensavers.
Do you remember doing that? You used to do a lot of those.
Open, yes.
They call it the cold open because it's there's no music. It's just somebody talking right out of the beginning.
Yeah.
And what would we do?
We do like 3 things, like, you know, learn how to hack your telephone and we'll interview Leo's dad.
And Kevin makes $60 million coming up
on the screensavers.
That's fun.
Sometimes they wouldn't let me do it. Like they went through phases where like, okay, Megan can do it. No, I don't know. They didn't think
that's Paul Block. That was our producer, Paul Block.
Yeah.
He had strong opinions.
Yes. When I was really pregnant, he wouldn't let me do it because he said I looked tired. And he said I looked like I hadn't washed my hair.
That's nice. That's a nice.
Yeah.
I love TV. What a great medium.
Yes.
And now, I mean medium, not well done, medium.
Now I never have to wash my hair. I have hair for radio.
No, your hair never looked dirty.
I did wash
your
my hair.
Your hair looks great.
I know. I had washed my hair too. It's just that's the way. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Before he came along, we always did cold opens, I think. But sometimes they would be like skits and stuff, like Saturday Night Live.
Yeah,
remember that?
He
turned
the
it into teases. Yeah, in the heyday.
I had all kinds of costumes. I had characters that I would do. Remember, I did Grandma Maroney.
Oh, my God.
And
yes.
I had Super Roni, where I was dressed as a superhero.
Yeah, see, as soon as the Hollywood producer shows up, that stuff goes because it's too cheesy.
Yeah.
But I loved that stuff.
Yeah. I always felt more comfortable when I was in a costume, too.
Grandma Maroney.
Yeah.
You had white eyebrows and white hair.
Yeah.
Did you talk like a grandma?
I did. And I don't remember what I. It was for some download that called for that.
Grandma Maroney.
I don't
remember
what it was. But yeah, and I had Super Roni. I think I had one more, but I don't remember.
And then Martin Sargent was Mr. Scuzzy.
Oh, yeah. That was way back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you around then, or you probably still working in the web side?
Yeah, I don't think I was on
TV yet.
No, but yeah, he had like that trench coat.
Yeah, trench coat. With it was lined with motherboards and video cards and stuff. That was pretty funny.
Does he have kids? We could interview him, Martin.
Martin will never have children. At least we can hope. No, I don't think he has kids. Not to my knowledge, anyway.
Yeah.
When did you go from being a web person to a TV personality?
It was right after I got married, so it was like 2000.
And what was the occasion? I mean,
It was a segment on searching the web, and I had come from a company that, like, I was where I was a, you know.
Were we on the old? We were on the old set.
Yeah, we were on the old set,
the
and it was like
set.
The segment that I suggested, and they were like, "Well, why don't you do it?" And I was like, well, "What do you mean, do it?" And they were like, "On the air, like what?"
I think you were pretty scared. As
oh
I
my
remember.
God, I was frightened for weeks.
You're a trembling
because it was like
leaf.
Yeah, we planned it out like a month in advance, and then and it was, I don't know. It got easier after that.
And this is one of the things Jennifer really liked about you, always, when she saw you on camera. She probably didn't see that first one, but that was that you just seemed like you were just totally comfortable and didn't really care.
Yeah.
Everybody on TV, a lot of times we have the Jerry Lewis syndrome where we really want you to like us.
Yeah.
And that's very obnoxious.
Well, I just,
you just didn't care.
It was never something that I wanted to do.
It was great.
It was just like, yeah, they were like, oh, yeah, we want you on the show, mostly because I was, you know.
That's why she loved you. She's like, this is great. Here's a real person on TV for a change.
Yeah.
So that blow-dried husband of mine. Darn him. So we're going to talk about, in case you've just tuned in and you're wondering, what are these people talking about? It is only our fifth episode. Maybe we should explain. This is a show about
parenting in the digital age, where we talk about what it's like to be a parent, how you use technology as a parent these days.
Parents of all ages, too. Young kids, old kids, you know, teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Grandparents, caregivers.
Caregivers. Really. That's a better way.
In the digital age.
We would have done that, but we ran out of characters.
Yeah.
We only had so many we could use in the type.
Yeah, so each week we talk about, we start off talking about a way you can save money, spend money, and give back to the community, because that's important to us. And we give a book pick. And
lots of links.
Yeah, we do links and interviews. And then at the very end of the show, we hear from you.
So we're going to do all that today. Let's start off with our links. Later on, we're going to interview the Manic Mommies.
Yeah.
Who are they?
The Manic Mommies. They're a podcast. They've been around for a few years. I really like them a lot.
So we're basically stealing, copying them.
I think that's during the interview, that's what they thought, that we were just, there was never going to air. We were just doing research. But yeah, they're not technology oriented.
They're still thinking that, because the interview didn't air for weeks.
Yeah.
They're still thinking, I knew it.
Aaron, Kristen, we weren't just secretly finding out all your secrets. But yeah, I really like them. Talk about what it's like to be working moms and, you know, doing it all, that kind of thing. And
good. I can't wait to talk.
Yeah.
This is a very well-known podcast. Podcast. The Manic. Now you know why I like Netcast better. It's harder to mispronounce. The Manic Mommies coming up. But first, let's take a look at our links and our spend, save, give.
Yeah. I wanted to start with saving today. And this is a little bit of a stretch because we've had a lot of people asking us about internet filters. Where can I buy the best internet filter? What's the best way to protect my kids online? And I got this recommendation from Rocco from nerdofsteel.com. And he came across a Firefox extension that helps you browse the web with your kids more safely. It's called Glubble. And it's still in beta. What you do is create white lists of sites that your kids can visit. So, instead of going the way of like, oh, they can't visit FARC or they can't, visit YouTube, they can't visit MySpace. You can just go with the sites that they can visit. So basically you have a blank slate and you're saying,
it's cute looking. And it says Firefox is locked.
Mm-hmm. And what you do is you create a little account for each one of your children so that, if you have a 5-year-old and a 12-year-old, you can obviously let them browse different sites.
So it's whitelisting. It's not trying to block. It just only allows them to sites you specifically say they can go to.
Right. And there's also another feature where it has like a Google and a Yahoo search, and you're just searching for sites that they've approved. Now, my first issue with this was a lot of these sites are like Disney and big sites, which I think have a lot of advertising.
Right.
And I actually, emailed Rocco, who suggested this, back, and I said, do you find that these sites are the ones that are really targeting our kids more than some of the others? And he said that he did, and he hadn't let his children see any of those sites. And he was also going to try to use Adblocker Plus. I think that's a Firefox extension. So he was going to play around with that to see if they played well together.
It's nice because you don't have to get it. There are kid-friendly web browsers, but this is nice because you don't have to get a different browser. You can use Firefox.
Yeah, and this is very similar to the OneCare family safety settings, which are also free. Those are for Microsoft.
And that's so if you're using Windows, you can say, and you use Windows OneCare, you can say, don't only go to these sites.
Right.
Yeah.
And create. And one thing that Glubble does that I found interesting, I think that the family settings on OneCare also do this. If you're not around, if you're at work and one of your kids is babysitting, they find a site that they need for school, they can just email you and say, hey, can I can you approve this site for me? And then you can email and approve or not approve it.
I like I think it's this for younger kids, this is the best way to go, which is you whitelist sites rather than rely on a filter, which is never going to do a perfect job.
No, it's always going to allow not allow sites for whatever reason that, allow some sites that.
Another one to look at that's free, and I haven't tried it, but I've heard good things about it, is Kid Rocket from kidrocket.org. This is for Windows. And the idea is the same thing. Actually, maybe there's a Mac version too. I don't know. No, I think it's Windows only. And the same thing, but it's a specific browser. Now, one of the disadvantages of using Firefox is you may have other browsers on your system.
So right.
What you might want to do is, you're going to have to somehow figure out how to lock down other programs.
Right, because, if yeah, if you just open Internet Explorer, you can see whatever.
Right.
Unless there's something we've missed in Glubble that it's also still in beta. So.
Right. This has some neat things. It has a doodle pad in it, a light bright game that you can play. Yeah. So there's some. You remember light bright?
Yes.
There's a reading program. There's math flashcards. There's math equations. There's a digital clock. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But it is a filter. I think it's filter focused. I see. Wait a minute. Except for approved sites. So it allows PBS Kids, Sesame Street, Lego, Disney, Crayola, SF Kids. That's the San Francisco Symphony. That's kind of neat. Noggin. It does focus a little bit on the commercial side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kidrocket.com?
Kidrocket.org.
.org. Yeah,
so there's a couple of choices. Yeah, this Glubble looks really neat.
It does. It's pretty.
Pretty.
And it's glubble.com. So yeah, try it out. And if you use something that you really like, go ahead and email me.
And if you know how to turn off Glubble, please email me because now I can't go anywhere.
You can only go to the Disney site.
From now on, all of the Twit netcasts will appear at Disney.com.
All right. Are we ready to spend some money?
Spend.
You ready to spend some money?
That was save. This is spend.
Yeah, this is The Adventures of Billy Brown by Kitty O. Now, these are CDs. They're little stories, like just little audio plays that Annabella loves. And she, you know, is four. And she listens to these every night before she goes to bed. And now I have to say, like, some of them are, you know, they have that sort of overexcited voices kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I she loves them. And that's what counts, right? I mean, have to love them.
If she likes them, it's fine.
And they're just little stories about a bear, and they teach a lot of interesting lessons. They teach lessons about using the internet to get information. They teach lessons about protesting and demonstrating.
Really?
Yeah, demonstrating.
You want to hear one of the demonstration? Listen. This is Billy Brown and Emma's friend staging a protest.
If you were a frog, where would you want to live?
Swamp! We're here, guys. Let's pull over. And look!
But she loves these.
Yeah, yeah. It was funny because they do talk about demonstrating. What they do is they're building a road right where the
right
frogs
the
are trying to.
Wow, that's not nice.
And so they want to.
That's bad.
And it's funny. I was saying to her the other day about something. I was like, well, let me demonstrate how to do it. She said, I know what demonstrating is. That's when you're standing up for something you believe in.
Yeah, right on. Right on, Annabelle. Now, I notice when Jennifer reads the kids, she reads with that voice.
Really?
And I don't.
Yeah.
And but do you think kids like that? They want to hear that kind of upbeat?
I don't know.
Annabella loves it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what most like kids' TV shows are, those voices.
Kind of bugs me, but I'm an adult, so what do I know?
Do you ever read with your radio announcer voice?
I do. I read like this all the time.
Where the wild things are. So there's three CDs. They're $10.99 each, and I just like that they're like a little series, so she gets really excited about each new one. And
did you ever read the book I'll Love You Forever?
Oh, my gosh. I just bought that book.
Do you cry?
I cry.
Every time. I actually had to stop reading the book because I would be blubbering by the end of it.
Yeah, that is a really sweet story.
It's
if you
beautiful.
Haven't read it, it's a
but
little.
But I couldn't finish. I would go, I love you forever. And there's a little song, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always.
That's not the way I sing. I have a different tune.
You have a different tune?
I'm sure everyone
there's
has
no
a different
tune. In
tune.
It.
Yeah. It's just a little story about a mom who reads to her. I actually think about you sometimes when I read that story because there is like the children are in the stages that your kids are, like one of them is like, not 10.
Well, he grows up. They grow up.
Yeah.
So it starts with a little baby the mother sings to it and then.
He's like a 9 or 10-year-old.
The kid gets older. Yeah. He's got a messy room. It looks just like Henry's room.
Then he's a teen. Yeah, he's a
gets
teenager.
Older, grows
and, but she
up.
Still sings a song. And oh, yeah.
So
we can't
beautiful.
Give away the end.
No, but I'll tell you, have a hanky ready.
Yeah.
Because it is. I'm glad to hear you say that because I just could not read that book without bursting into tears.
Yeah,
there's something
it's
about
Robert
it.
Robert Munch, I think. I Love You Forever.
Robert N. Munch.
Yeah, great book. So, yeah, Adventures of Billy Brown. When you get tired of reading. I've said before on the show that I just like when,
you buy these as CDs. Mm-hmm. Are they in stores or do you?
I don't know if they're in stores. It's just a guy. And he all the talent he found on Craigslist. It's an interesting
You're kidding.
Story. Yeah, Yeah.
That's really neat.
And he comes from, I think, Germany, and that's really big there, like stories read, like story
Good.
Instead of, you know, TV, just listening.
Yeah. Oh, I wish we'd do more of that.
All right, ready to give back to the community?
Okay, we did spend, we did save. Okay,
now we're giving.
Ready
we're
to
giving.
Give.
This yep. is Smiling Kids Incorporated, and this was actually recommended to me by Erin from the Manic Mommies. In addition to being a full-time working mom, she also serves on the board of this. And, you know, it's an East Coast charity, but I just like the idea. It's smilingkidsinc.org, and what they do is they do parties with a purpose. And so you host a birthday party. Instead of bringing gifts, you ask the children to bring money or gift cards for kids in need.
That's nice, because we have really gotten so materialistic with these birthday parties.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah, like
no kid needs 20 gifts.
No, especially purchased by someone who doesn't really even know the kid that well, you know? And I know, for Annabella and Milo and Huck's last birthday, we had kids bring a book and then they exchange them.
That was fun. I like that.
Yeah. You guys brought us like 10 books. So we have all
and we didn't take any.
Yeah.
It's kind of unfair.
But and then it's just, I don't know, but I like this Smiling Kids. I mean,
what a nice
she was
idea.
Hosting it for one of her kids.
SmilingKidsInc.org.
Yeah.
INC. SmilingKidsInc.org.
And now it's time for our book pick.
Yeah, as usual, Audible is supporting this podcast and many of the TWIT podcasts. Audible.com/TWIT is the website. And they've arranged to give you a free book. So every show, we're trying to find new, wonderful books to recommend. And this is one I'm very interested in.
Yeah, this is Little Children by Tom Perata.
Now, this is a movie, right?
It was, but I happen to think that they messed up on the movie, sort of.
People loved the movie.
Yeah, it was, I think, nominated for an Academy Award.
Yeah.
But I just love this
I haven't seen the movie,
book.
So.
And Tom Perata, he wrote, I can't think of it, that movie with Election.
Well, see, oh, I loved Election.
Yeah, he wrote the book that movie was based on.
See, this is a neat thing about Audible. I can click his name and then see what other books he's written and are available on Audible. So that's neat. This is Unabridged Little Children.
Yeah, and it's a novel, about suburban parents and kids. And it's, if you're not into reading, you could just see the movie, but it's not as good.
Well, not having seen the movie, that's perfect. I will listen to the book before I see the movie. But if you've seen the movie, maybe you'd like to know what the original was like, and you can. Free. Go to audible.com/twit. You must be a U.S. in the U.S. I'm sorry to say. You do need a credit card. You'll sign up. And I should make this clear because I think I kind of messed this up earlier. You do have to sign up for audible.com, but you have 2 weeks to cancel. So you can listen to the book. You can cancel right away, I guess. But what I would suggest is listen to the book. And if you like it, then you might want to stick around.
Right.
There's so many good books.
Yeah, this is not a book for kids. It's a novel for adults.
Yes, we should mention that.
Yeah.
It's darkly comic.
It is dark.
So do not play it when the kids are around. Use headphones.
Yeah, definitely. All right, now do we have time for some links?
Yeah, let me just one more time say audible.com/twit and say we thank you
thanks.
For your support.
I like books. Okay, this was recommended by a listener named Olivia who lives in Switzerland, and she's liking our podcast because she you know, it's nice for her to listen to people speaking her language. She doesn't have to
expat.
Yeah, she doesn't have to listen very carefully to
right.
us, except when I mumble. I forget to talk in the microphone.
Or when you speak German.
Yes.
Which hasn't happened yet, but could.
This is the BBC CBeebies. It's the kids' site for the BBC, like PBS in the U.S.
I like the name.
I do too. BBC CBeebies.
CBeebies.
And I found a lot of interesting things on here. What I like best was the make and do section. Lots of fun crafts and activities. We're a big fan in our house of the printables, where you print something out. All my kids, print that out for me.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then
shiny,
they color it.
There's so many of these.
Yeah, lots of
the shiny
crafts.
Show.
Yeah, they have a lot of different shows I've never heard
Barnaby
of.
Barnaby Bear, Frimbles.
CBeebies.
BBCs. I like this.
Yeah.
And you know, it's now, do your kids... see, a lot of times I think when you go to a Disney site or a PBS site, your kids know all these characters. That might be an advantage, but your kids don't know these characters.
No.
Do they still like it?
I don't know.
You don't know? You don't ask them?
I've just been printing out. We just do the printout because we don't spend that much time on the internet. Like we do some Flickr and we do some YouTube. But once you get to sites like this with a 4-year-old and 2 2-year-olds, that's when you get the broken laptop screen because they're poking in.
Donk, donk, donk. Dolphin. Oh, that's neat.
So we do a lot of printing. But there are, for kids who are used to surfing the net, that there's a lot of interesting things for them.
CBBS.
And, yeah, I guess they would like those things. I mean, there's Bob the Builder. Every little
Oh, yeah. Is Bob the Builder a BBC guy? I didn't know that.
I don't know if he's a PBS Gordon, or BBC.
Gordon the Garden Gnome?
You know Gordon the Garden Gnome.
I'm Gordon the Garden Gnome. This is neat.
Okay. Now, the next link is more serious. You ready for something more serious?
I'm taking that smile and turning it upside down.
Do you ever read the Freakonomics blog?
You know what's funny?
What?
You know what's cracks me up? This was our Audible pick on Twit last week.
It was. Freakonomics. Love that book.
Isn't it a great book?
Yeah. Did I give you the wrong link to this story that I wanted to talk
about? It came up 404. So what is the story? I'm guessing not why do retirees buy such big houses?
Yes, that's why.
That would not be the one.
Now Freakonomics.
Explain Freakonomics, first of all.
It's a book by a world-renowned
Stephen
economist.
Levitt, who is kind of the, I get the impression, kind of the bad boy of economics. He's kind of the wunderkind, bright kid who, the older, stuffier economists kind of.
Right, but I think now, I mean, he's really ushered
he's a
in
superstar.
A new. Yeah. Have you read it?
I love it.
Yeah, so great.
It was like opening my eyes to the world.
Because
what he does is he looks for using economics, using the numbers, using economic theory and actual numbers to actually say something real about the world instead of just what we think might be true.
Right.
Like why drug dealers tend to live with their moms.
Yeah, that was the one that sticks out to me. Yeah, there's a lot of controversial stuff, but really fascinating.
Well, the real controversial one, and it's more probably political than it is an economic controversy, is why the crime rate has gone down so much. He believes it's because of abortion. That because there are fewer kids of that age group, fewer unwanted kids in that age group, that's reduced crime. Now, I wonder if he still thinks that, because did you know that the crime statistics have actually been going up in the last 2 years? Yeah.
That's interesting.
Teen crime.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, statistics, you can prove anything, right? I mean, anything
I think
you
it's just fascinating. I think he does attempt to, really find the truth.
Yeah. So I picked this out because he had an interest. I love the blog, the Freakonomics.
I didn't know
blog.
He had a Freakonomics.
Yeah,
blog.
It's written by
Stephen Dubner
who does most of the writing, and he was the writer that did it with him, that wrote the book with him. But this was in reference to a new article. There was an article it was an op-ed piece in the New York Times about autism and the rising. You know, a lot of people are saying
it's
like,
very controversial right
yes,
now.
Yes, it is that the cases of autism are on the rise, and what this article says is basically that it's one of the reasons that it may be on the rise is just because it's being publicized more.
Well, we're diagnosing it more.
Right. And that we're also diagnosed. It's a bigger umbrella. So autism spectrum disorder, which is not necessarily autism in some books. It's, a milder form, a different form of autism.
Right.
And another interesting thing, I mean, this is the kind of things that they come up with, is that it may be that because there's more, there's more support for autism. There's not a cure, but there's more people are getting help with autism. Then it's more likely that people will go to the doctor and say, I think my child's autistic.
Right.
Like if you think there's nothing you can do about it, you're not going to go to the doctor. But if you think, wow, like there's a lot of help that I can get, a lot of therapy and, then definitely people are reporting it more. So it's interesting because it's like, because the rise, some people are blaming the rise of autism on vaccinations. That's the
real thing that everybody, but now that's what's interesting about all of this is that they really try to get at the root of it, even if it's politically incorrect or upsetting to people.
Right.
And they try to use statistics to do that. And I know this would be very upsetting to some people.
And I think, because I don't know a mom who, that's one of the things when they're looking for a pediatrician the first time that, well, how are you going to deal with vaccinations?
Or,
because it's, for a lot of moms, it's the first time they've ever thought about this.
And this is very politicized.
Yeah.
And this autism thing has actually made it much more controversial.
Right.
He points out that there's no the scientific consensus absolutely among doctors and health professionals is that vaccines do not cause autism. But, they didn't think smoking caused cancer until 30 years ago. So,
but I think some of the earlier medical research that I think was The Lancet has been disproved that there was a direct link. But
one thing we know is not getting vaccines causes tetanus, mumps, measles. I mean, there are some really serious childhood diseases that are essentially eradicated.
Yes.
I had all those diseases as a kid. We have, you know, it's funny. We have one of my wife's sisters. She has three. Does not vaccinate. Mm-hmm. Is dead set against it. And of course, her kids got whooping cough.
Really?
Yeah. And you know, we benefit right now. In many cases, you can not get vaccines, and nobody else is going to be sick because all the other kids around you have got vaccines. But there are some childhood illnesses that are on their way back because of this.
And definitely in certain communities where non-vaccinating is popular.
Yeah, with Santa Barbara, you do not want to get whooping cough. Yeah. Oh, you feel so bad for that poor kid. It is, besides being very dangerous, it sounds terrible. I mean, really, the kid sounds like they're in horrible agony. So. Yeah.
So I just wanted to bring this up because I know it's an issue for parents, especially new parents, when they're kind of making these decisions. And I just think it's really important to talk to your doctor and to, you know, find a doctor that you agree with, you know, not just take everything they say as
It's so
gospel.
Hard for us, though, to know now. I mean, that's the problem. There's so much information mm-hmm. that's often conflicting. Mm-hmm. It's just tough. Circumcision's another example I mean, I don't want to get in that debate.
We got one of our twins we circumcised, and the other one we didn't.
No.
Just
to be on the safe side. That's handy to have twin boys, because then you have the choice one way or the other.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to ask you what you did, but I just think that that's a huge controversy. And now I see new evidence that it is very painful and dangerous. Mm-hmm. And so, but it goes back and forth is the point. And it's, I think as a parent, you just have to do the best you can.
Right.
And you know that you're going to do something wrong.
Right. Just, you know what doing the best you can is?
What's that?
Modding your stroller into an Imperial Walker.
Dum, bum, 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 bum. Now that is a picture.
Yeah. You got to go to
Thingamababy.
Yeah. Thingamababy. I don't know. Or follow the link from jumpymonkeys.com.
This is
a guy that modded his stroller for a Star Wars convention into Imperial Walker. You know, the big gray things.
The things that was it the Empire Strikes Back that they were walking in the snow?
It's really cool.
Man.
I think it's cool.
That is very funny.
So this is a picture that was floating around on the web, but the guy who writes Thingamababy is a dad who, it's a really great site. I like it a lot. He sort of deconstructs what he thinks the stroller was used and what materials were used.
It's a baby transport light.
Yeah.
I think we've determined that. There was some suspicion it might be an Eddie Bauer stroller. Yeah. However, or maybe a Combi, but no.
Man knows his strollers.
It's a discontinued model of the baby transport light.
But I bet you could still do it here. So if you've modded your stroller, send me a picture because I'd like to see
this guy's such a geek. He's wearing a Boba Fett wristband.
Yeah.
As well. You know, it just shows that you can be a dad, but not give up on what
your
matters to you most.
Your obsession to Star Wars.
Or whatever.
Or whatever, yeah.
Or whatever. Hey, I have an obsession with the Manic Mommies. This is a great podcast. And we are talking to the Manic Mommies.
Now, did you guys meet at the PME or just hear Leo talk?
We actually saw him across the courtyard, and I said, "That's Leo." And Aaron's like, "Don't be a geek." So, I think that was about, she said that to me a lot at the PME.
This is why I never meet the cute chicks. They say, "Don't be a geek."
She's like, be cooler.
Did you come over and say hi?
No, she wasn't.
No way! You're like a big time celebrity.
Superstar.
Oh, I'm disappointed. Had you already started the Manic Mommies?
Yeah, we've only gone to the PME once, and that was
Well, there've only been two, so you're halfway there.
Yeah, but
exactly.
But Manic Mommies will be 2 years old in July.
Right.
So tell us about Manic Mommies. What is it?
Well, it's the only podcast worth listening to about parenting.
Hang up now.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Megan, how dare you have these people on our show? So when did you start it?
Winches. 2 years ago, July of 2005.
That's really early. I mean, podcasting was only 6 months old, 7 months old when you started that.
Yeah, and it had just been a couple months, a little while before that Apple got all the attention for adding podcasts to iTunes.
That was in April 2005.
Exactly.
Right.
And Aaron and I are neighbors, and we have kids that are about the same age, and we're also very similar industries. So she called me and said, "Have you heard this thing called podcasting?" And I said, "Yeah, it's something with iTunes, right?" And she, you know, she kind of had the vision of something for working moms. I think the vision had changed a little bit once we really got into it. Because I think at first it was more like a weekly, let us give you the news in you know, that you need to know as a working mom. And that kind of morphed into what is now Manic Mommies.
Yeah, I listened to the first episode a while back, and you guys are just, like, in your kitchen with your kids, like, washing dishes and playing. And
my daughter was on the table, which is you're totally not supposed to do.
Was there a lot of thumping going on in the background from her kicking the microphone?
Oh, there was so much going on in the background.
Yeah, you guys have come a long way, babies.
Yeah,
sorry. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, we've learned to put the kids to bed first.
Yeah.
That's, you know, key.
And cocktails also?
Cocktails are also key.
Oh, so this is the Dignation of Mommy Cast.
Yeah.
You guys have a beer before the show?
Cosmos.
Didn't it used to be wine?
Well, it depends on the season.
Oh, I see.
Is Erin there? I feel like she's not saying anything.
I'm here, but you know what? I can't hear Megan.
Oh, you
can? I
can
only hear you and Leo.
Oh, I can make you
so
hear.
I can't hear what she's saying.
I should have probably fixed that before we started, but I'll fix it now. I'm sorry about that. That means Megan.
I was just letting Kristen talk.
I'm happily chit-chatting away, and I'm like, this is very weird.
Well, Megan, ask Erin a question so she can...
Erin, do you prefer Cosmos or wine?
Oh, I actually prefer Cosmos as a drink, but for podcasting, it can be dangerous. Mm. We had a show a couple weeks ago that fell apart, and we drank two Cosmos each in the process, and it shows in the final show.
Was this the Book Fair show?
Yes.
I think we could tell that Megan is a listener.
Yes. The yes. GD Book Fair.
Yeah, that was the book fair. We had actually interviewed someone who shall remain nameless, and it was not usable. We got to the end of it and just said, this really isn't something we can use. So then it was 9:30, quarter of 10, and we had to kind of start from scratch. And we were already two Cosmos in.
And I like it. That's so, my kind of podcast.
Advice to podcasters, wine, not Cosmos.
Yes, white wine, too, because one of us spilled. On Aaron's carpet.
So how do you record the podcast? What do you guys, what kind of technology do you guys use?
I'll take that one. This is Kristen. We use GarageBand. I have a PowerBook G4 that I run GarageBand on. And then we started with headset mics when we were, you know, not sure if this was something, A, what we were doing, or B, if it was something we'd be doing for any length of time. But we finally did invest in the podcasting kit from Musician's Friend.
Oh, yeah, that's a good kit. Yeah,
yeah, kit number whatever 2 for 2 podcasters.
Uh-huh.
So that's really done it, you know, done a good job for us. We are looking to expand it to a couple of more mics.
So are you making money on this thing?
We just started making money on it this month with our first big sponsor.
Isn't that great? Yeah. What a nice feeling that must be.
It is. It'd be nice if we were making more, but...
but it kind of it justifies investing in it, for sure.
Yes, it does.
It does. And I feel like, I mean, it was important to us that it was also a sponsor we could get behind.
Right.
I think that's why it took us a little while to really find one and that, you know, all the stars align or the planets aligned where we felt like it was a... Because I don't know about... Well, I know about Erin. I think we both take it seriously, the responsibility, because we often hear from people, you know, I either buy or at least consider buying every product you mention on the show.
Yes,
so,
that's right. Yeah.
You know, to hear something like that, you're like, okay, gotta think about who we partner with.
So how did you do this? Did you are you working with somebody, an agency, or are you doing it on your own? How are you doing that part?
We're actually doing it on our own, and I think that's probably our biggest shortcoming with Manic Mommies, is that Kristen and I literally are trying to do everything. We have full-time jobs, we have families, we have Manic Mommies, which is like another full-time job or another child. I haven't decided which. And
well, it doesn't poop on the carpet, but yeah. It does take a lot of attention.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Kristen's background is advertising. Mine is promotion and PR. So we have a lot of contacts. It's just a matter of, as anyone in this business, media business knows, it's all about getting out there and having meetings and making phone calls and selling the product. And, you know, we just don't have a whole extra lot of time to do that. So for us, the content of the show comes first. We do it because we love it, and we know our listeners count on us every week and enjoy tuning in. And so for me, I think the number one priority is continuing to make it the best show it can be, bring good guests on, you know, have entertaining and stimulating conversations. And I feel like then sponsors who want to be associated with that will come. They will find us. I mean,
that's been my attitude too. I think you have to focus on what you're doing and do it for the love of it first. And then, but it also does seem to work after a while, you know. What do your husbands think of your podcasts?
You want to take that one first there?
I mean, do they say, oh, isn't that cute? You've got a little podcast. Or are they
actually? I would say that my husband is waiting for that big sponsor to come along. I think he really believes in it. I think he sees how excited Kristen and I get. I think he loves to hear the stories from listeners and other people who write in to tell us what they think of the show. And he always makes little comments like, someday when Manic Mommies makes it big, you know. So I think he doesn't poo-poo it as much as he did in the beginning. But I think they definitely feel like they're missing out on some quality wife time when we're, you know, down on the computer for 3 hours or something.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest drawback, because I would agree that Steve is the same way. I think he's very supportive of it. I mean, especially now we're actually planning an escape for our listeners in November for 3 days. One of them is my birthday. And so I'm like, honey, I may have to be in Newport for possibly even longer, you know, if we need to go down the day before. And so I think, you know, part of him, it's just another demand on my time. So that doesn't make him happy. On the other hand, you know, he sees how much I enjoy it and the friendship that I've found with Aaron through it. And he knows how important that has been to me. And then he also recognizes the validation that I received from other parents has kept me from losing my mind at times. So for all those reasons, he's been very supportive of it.
And you're doing it at night, so he's not having to watch the kids while you're doing it.
Exactly. He generally, my kids go to bed a little later, so he does end up stuck putting them to bed, which, as we all know, can be the hardest thing to do.
Yes.
otherwise, we wouldn't start recording till 9 o'clock. That's not practical.
Well, not if there's Cosmos involved.
That's true.
I like this Cosmo idea, I have to say, Megan. I think there's something we could gain from this.
I think
we could learn something from the Manic Mommies.
Yeah, I'm more of a genetic person.
We also find they're very helpful for guests.
Oh.
You know? Because, you know, we have moms on the show and
They get nervous.
Yeah. And, you know, you say to them, would you like something to drink first?
That's like something you could do on podcasting, but we couldn't do that on the Screensavers.
No.
Many as a time, we would like to get our guests drunk first.
Yeah.
Right.
Wished we had gotten our guests drunk first.
Not drunk, well, just loose.
Loose.
I was going to say, isn't that what the green room's for?
You know,
you'd
before
think.
You go on the
I've yet
the
to be
major
in a green room
shows.
That actually had booze in it, though. Usually it's muffins and juice, and I don't know. Or coffee, which is the worst thing you can give a guest.
Let's get everybody all riled up.
So you have regulars on your show too, though.
We do have a couple regulars. We have our parenting coach, Kathy, who is actually wildly popular with our listeners.
She's the one whose slogan is "Beat them, beat them, beat them." No, I'm sorry, that's another mommy cast I was listening to.
Could you send me the link to that?
She's a daycare provider.
She is a daycare provider, and she's actually my children's daycare provider. This is Erin. And she still wants to come on my show. I don't know what that's about. But
I know. Well, she did have to take 6 months off for a while after watching Tommy for a year and a half.
Oh,
right?
Boy.
Actually, I think it was 2 years. But she did take my baby the second time around. But she's great. She has 4 kids of her own, and she's been a daycare provider for over 15 years. So that woman knows kids.
That's great.
And she has the patience of a saint.
And then you have a doctor on there, too.
Yeah, Dr. Are you asking that for a reason?
No. Just
no? No particular reason?
No, I just... Why? Is there something I should know?
I promise I did not invite you guys on for research, no, but I'm learning so much.
Yeah, let me just write this down. Do you have a pediatrician?
We have Dr. Rob, and he's actually my children's pediatrician. And the reason that Aaron and I both sputtered for a moment is he got himself into a little bit of a kerfluffle recently in the Boston Globe relating to blogging.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Well, he was being sued, he apparently, which, you know, is not...
It's common.
It happens. It's very common in the medical field. But what none of us knew is that he was blogging under an assumed identity, and they unmasked him.
Oh, boy.
On the stand.
Oh, boy.
And it was front page news above the fold on the Boston Globe.
Well, what was the blog? Was it embarrassing?
Well, he talked about the trial, and he talked about what was going on. And yeah, you're not really supposed to do that. So,
So is he fired now from Manic Mommies, or he's just on a leave of absence?
He's on a little bit of a leave right now.
Paid suspension.
He chose. He was actually, the day it came out, he was supposed to come on the show, but he asked for some time because obviously he was dealing with it.
That actually raises an important issue. I mean, I think all of us who do this sometimes, you know, I come from a media background, so I know what I'm getting into. But if you don't, we forget that this blog or this podcast is being seen and read by people. It is very public.
And I mean, the thing that I think surprised both Aaron and I is this was a very well-known blog. Dr. Rob was famous amongst medical professionals and malpractice attorneys. People were watching him quite closely. So it was, it's been a very interesting, it was a very interesting event.
Yeah. Yeah, but getting back to that question of you never know who's listening or reading, one of the things I love about you guys is you're so honest about everything. And do you ever worry that... you know, your son's preschool teacher might listen or...
Well, I don't know if you noticed a couple of episodes ago when I said the name of the school,
doorbell
rang.
Yeah.
Because Erin did point out to me at the end, she goes, you know, you've never said the school. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah. I did notice that.
That's that's prudent, actually. I think that's a smart thing to do.
Well, it's funny, too, because I don't mention it to... There are a lot of people who don't know that I do this. So one time when I went to pick my son up from preschool, the teacher said to me, Tommy was talking a lot today about your blog, something called Manic Mommies. And I was like, yeah, it's just a little side thing. I don't talk to everybody about it.
Uh-oh.
Don't go check it out.
She's listening now. Uh-oh.
No, I think we do. I think we try to be careful.
We are not careful.
I think we're careful about the things we talk. I mean, let me put it this way.
We're not careful.
We try to be honest about ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a friend who said to me, he said something about me being a bad parent. I'm like, you're no better than I am. And he goes, no, but you're internationally known as a bad parent. You know, I think I'm willing to be very honest about myself, and I do talk about school, but I don't talk about dynamics at work. I don't talk about clients. I don't talk about my family. You know, I do think we have some rules. They may seem loose, but...
No, and you guys are really... Another thing I really like is you're not judgmental about other moms. I mean, that's part of being totally honest about, you know... how hard it is to put a kid to bed or all the other things. I mean, you know, a lot of moms will say I'm not judgmental, but you guys are really, I mean, you know, you got a lot on your plates, and so you don't ever question when the other parenting decisions that people make that you come into contact.
I think that's kind of old school where you'd be the perfect mom and you'd write your advice column for the newspaper, and nobody wants to read that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to read that. And anybody who's been a parent knows it's impossible. It's made up. If you say you are, you're not.
Right.
You know, so I think that's kind of one of the things I find refreshing about this medium in particular. People don't pose so much. So do you mind that friends and family might be listening in?
I don't mind. I would say that for myself, I have been, yakking my mouth off for years. So
they're used
my
to Aaron
used
talking.
To it.
Yeah,
exactly. Right. And my son has been bitten by the same bug. He doesn't shut up either. So, I mean, it runs in the family. I don't think my parents were surprised at all when I was like, I'm doing this thing called a podcast. If you can figure out how to download it on your computer, you might be able to listen.
How about you, Kristen? Does your family or friends, how do they react?
They all know. It took me a little while to merge my identities, to reveal that Kristen from my office is Kristen of Manic Mommies. But the fact is that in my role here at the agency, I do a lot with the internet and with web development. So, when Manic Mommies became something, it really, career-wise, was in my best interest to make sure people knew about it, knew that that we had created something using all this new technology that, yeah, that people were listening
to. It's good for
to.
You.
So, yeah, it has been really, it's been very interesting career-wise to see what it's doing and the interest people have in it.
So, Aaron, you are, you admit that you're the less technical of the two of you. So have you learned, have you learned anything since you started Manic Mommies?
Oh, I can definitely say with some confidence that I can set up the rig. I can record an interview if I need to in person. I'm not so good with the Audio Hijack Pro, although I have hijacked one conversation. But truthfully, I always say that Manic Mommies would never be what it is if I approached another friend with the idea beside Kristen, because Kristen is the only one I know in my circle of mommies and my circle of friends who understands technology, embraces it, is not afraid of it, and is, in fact, I would say, borderline obsessed about it. So
that's a way to turn a positive into a negative. Way to go.
Seriously, we wouldn't have a website. We wouldn't have an email newsletter. We wouldn't have a show. I mean, she
it's a good
loves
website,
technology.
By the way. You're doing a great job with it.
Yeah, she's doing an amazing job with it. And I mean, I have friends who call me up and say, what kind of iPod should I buy? What's the difference between a Nano and a Shuffle? They think I'm the tech savvy one because I can answer that question.
It's out of perspective. You got to remember that. You're tech savvy in perspective with others.
Mm-hmm. I know, but that's what I mean. Like, if I said, even friends now, I say podcast, they're like, what is that? What? How do you even program an iPod? They don't know. So,
What I think is great about this partnership is that because I definitely couldn't do this on my own, and I don't have anyone else in my circle of friends who is as crazy as I am, who thinks, hey, let's take on something new and just keep it rocking and rolling. And, she says that it wouldn't still be here without me. But on the other hand, I mean, she's the one who's like, let's write a book. Let's plan an escape. Let's do an e-newsletter. I mean, it's, I may implement, but she's the, in many ways, the one who's like, what else can we layer on to Manic Mommies to add value to our listeners? So I think it's made a really good partnership.
Yeah, you're like many teams, like Lennon and McCartney, or Jobs and Wozniak, Sacco and Vanzetti. You got one who's, one way and the other, and they complement each other. That makes a lot of sense.
And there are also weeks where, I'll call having a breakdown. Like, you can't record, don't have time. And she'll be like, no problem, just arrive. I'll have the Cosmo ready. and then other weeks where I arrive and I've pulled it all together because she's having a manic week. Mm.
So you guys both have 5-year-olds, right?
Oh, boy.
and then 2-year-olds or 2 and 1-year-olds?
I have.
God, you're so good, Megan. I can't even remember my own kids' names.
Seriously, I have a 5-year-old boy and a 2-year-old girl.
And my kids, I have 2 boys, 5 and 3.
Wow.
Soon to be.
You wouldn't think you guys would have time for that and a job and a podcast.
And husbands.
Oh, forget the husbands. Yeah.
And TV. They watch an enormous amount of television.
No, you don't. They couldn't. How could they? Really?
That's Kristen. Kristen watches an enormous part.
I'm telling you, sleep is overrated.
Well, even with TiVo, you still have to have the time to watch it at some point.
Well, with TiVo, you can watch two or three shows at once. You just need a number of televisions, and you can really get a lot.
And you can fast forward. You know, I can get through the two-hour American Idol finale in 25 minutes.
You know, that's really true. If you had to watch that in real time, it takes 2 hours.
Yeah.
But there's not that much there.
No.
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
A lot of ads.
So,
no, I admit I need to. I was just saying to Aaron, I'm like, I'm not bringing my laptop home today. I need to disconnect.
So what kind of technology do your kids use?
Well, my son, I would say
besides,
that
we should say Fruitaboo organic smooshed fruit.
Oh,
did you hear that? Did you hear that little spot?
Other than
my,
that.
My son could be a child star that recorded.
If you only had time.
My 5-year-old, who is very bright, I mean, he probably could hack into the, you know, FBI website or something, but he loves computers. He's on the computer probably more than he should be, but that's about it. I mean, he does the computer. He,
what does he do when he does it? What does a 5-year-old do when they do, quote, do the computer?
They go to Pokemon.com.
Really? Interesting. See, my kids, when Abby was 5, it was 97. There was nothing for her to do. And, and even when Henry was 5, which was 99, there wasn't much. Mm-hmm. So there's there's sites that a 5-year-old can go to these days.
Oh, yeah. And they can play little games. And
the problem is if they click on the ads and suddenly they're somewhere else and they're like, I don't know where I am, Mom.
You're right.
Well, mine doesn't. I have all sorts of blockers up on my thing. So my biggest thing is he'll say, it says I need some, you know, and I'll go in and it'll say download
Flash.
Such and such application to run. Yeah, exactly.
Mom, but, what's an internet plugin? Mommy.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what kind of blockers do you use?
Oh, I don't know. My husband did that.
Kristen, what kind of blockers does Aaron use?
I can't answer that. It's a PC. I'll have nothing to do with the thing.
Oh, we got a little division here between the mommies.
No. I am an iBook user, too.
Oh,
yeah. Right. Wives are Mac people. Husbands in the of the Manic Mommies are PC people.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you're mixed marriages.
I know.
Yeah. Mixed marriages, definitely.
What do you do for Christmas? Oh, no, that's another problem.
Technology. This mommy wants technology.
Technology.
So it's basically a blocker that makes you enter a password whenever he needs to do something.
Yeah, or he has some sort of, I don't know. I honestly can't even try to pretend.
We've got to do a show on blockers because that's a whole nother kettle of fish, boy. That's a complicated situation.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's such a struggle with the kids and technology how much to let them. You know, with my son, it's video games. My husband's a big video game guy. He grew up in the 80s, so video games, got the Xbox, and before that the PlayStation, and now we have the Wii. And it's just trying to limit him.
Now this is interesting. Was this your husband? Was he into these? So he got them, or did you get these for the kids? That's a lot of gaming for a 5-year-old.
Well, they're his.
They're your husband's.
Be not fooled. They belong to my husband.
Yeah.
You know, he's.
That's what I found. It's not
first-person shooters on the PC, and when he's not doing that, he's playing Band of Blood Brothers or something on the Xbox.
Band of Dead Headless Blood Brothers.
Yeah, I have no idea. You know, we had to have a little talk about, what is that? I can't even think of the name of the game. You know, they're carjacking people and...
Oh, Grand Theft Auto.
We had to have a talk about the fact that the kids had to be not only in bed but unconscious before that could be turned on.
Yeah.
You have to be 6 before you play Grand Theft Auto.
Seriously. The Wii I feel better about because at least that's active, and we don't have any games that are, you know, shoot 'em up games.
I don't think there are any on the Wii. I don't know.
Maybe the clubbing game.
I have no. Yeah, you could club them with
Club
the
of Seal. Oh, that's my favorite game. I love that. No.
But no, the games are all. I mean, and I enjoy them too. I think, you know, it's the generation that grew up with video games, that grew up with the Ataris and all those games that are now, they have money, so they're buying them still.
How about you, Aaron? Is there gaming in your home?
There's no gaming in my home.
Ah,
we don't have any video games.
Another divide.
Is that a rule or just a
She's too busy watching TV.
It's actually not a rule so much as, honestly, you know, my husband is totally not into that.
I think
my
that's the thing. I think the husband is the you know, the vector for this stuff.
I mean, my husband is into sports. If you want to talk fantasy football or fantasy baseball, he's got, you know, 15 different teams going, and he can tell you every statistic about every stupid sports figure, you know, under the sun. That's what my husband does.
Do I detect a little resentment here?
No, I have no resentment over the sports. The fantasy leagues sort of drive me a little bananas because they just
Well, you have your podcast.
Over. Yes.
He has his
exactly.
fantasy.
Exactly. So, but my son is asking about video games a lot. You know, he's at the point
even
where
at five.
He's,
wow.
He's saying, you know, mommy, well, Anders is a good friend of his, and he says, when can I get a Wii?
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
Plus the kids are not, I mean, they're exposed to this stuff. I mean, they're exposed to either the advertising
oh, sure.
or at school.
Some
I mean,
kids got it. Yeah.
My son came home one day and he asked me if, mommy, can we go to Disney World where all my dreams can come true?
Oh.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, can't shoot as soon as you win the Super Bowl.
Seriously.
So are you guys actually physically neighbors or?
Yes.
Like you live next door to each other?
Well, on the same street.
That's so cute. It's like Lucy and Ethel.
It is kind of. You know, people make comparisons and sometimes they say like, oh, you're Lucy and Ethel. And then I say, which one would I be?
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. No, go down that road. Because then your husband has to be Fred Mertz. And that's a, you know.
We think of it more like a Seinfeld sitcom relationship. We're more like,
it's friends. That's what it is. You're Joe or no, she's Joe. I don't know. I don't watch enough TV.
Well, oh, I'm definitely Jennifer Aniston. Maybe you haven't seen my caricature, but, you know.
That's fine. Except she's really not. She's really corking.
I'm going to confess, since I'm not a mommy, that I've never listened to Manic Mommies, but just I could tell the rapport between you two, and I can see how it would be a lot of fun. I'm going to have to listen to some episodes.
Yeah.
And maybe some daddies listens, too, do you find?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
We have daddies. They write in.
Remember the first daddy we heard about, Aaron? The Bob, was that his name? His wife wrote in to tell us about him.
Oh yeah.
And I got a guy from Denver who said, like, he listens and he's still trying to get his wife to listen, and someday she will.
Well, and it was funny, this woman who wrote to us, she said, I'm writing to introduce you to my husband, Bob. And she went on to talk about how they were at the breakfast table and he started talking about Freakonomics, and she was like, hold the phone. How do you know about Freakonomics? Like, all you read are technical manuals. And he's like, well, I was listening to this podcast called The Manic Mommies. And she's like, now let's talk about that.
Yeah. Who are they? Why are they manic?
And I think that what he said to her was, it gives him insight into what she's thinking. Which I thought was very smart. Like, you know, the insight.
Isn't that neat?
He might also ask her what she's thinking.
That never works. You know that. Yeah. We want them to know.
Right.
You can hear the Manic Mommies, of course, on iTunes or go to their website, which, as I said, is very nicely done, manicmommies.com. And don't forget, the next time you're in the supermarket, to look for a Fruitaboo. Organic smooshed fruit twirl. See, it works. I
oh,
want
very
some.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm hungry. I want a Fruitaboo.
Just send him his check.
Our sponsor will be very happy mentioned it.
We like to help everybody out. And you're going to be in Newport, Rhode Island, but no dads for that one.
NBA, no boys allowed.
No boys allowed, November 9th through 11th. I think that's a nice idea, yeah. Megan. We should try something like that.
Yeah.
Very.
You can come out.
You should try sending me to something like that.
You want to go to Newport? Newport's beautiful. I was just in Boston yesterday.
I think she has to cover it.
Yeah.
I was out for my reunion in Connecticut, and then we went up to Harvard Yard to visit.
Excellent.
And it was, the weather was a little rainy.
I was going to say, it was a bad day yesterday.
Yeah, we were supposed to, it was taking my daughter. This is something you guys don't have to worry about yet, but taking my daughter on the college tours. And we had a tour, but it was a pouring rain, and we decided to opt out. Plus, I had a Yale umbrella, which I thought wouldn't go over so well.
Oh, so she was looking at Harvard.
Harvard.
She's just
window shopping.
She's a sophomore now, I guess.
And she's a sophomore. It's early, yeah. But you start doing that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Little smarty pants, eh?
The idea is to incent. Mm-hmm. You want to go here, kid? You better start getting A's. Anyway.
You know, it's, I have to say, I've been to, I do a bunch of events in my work, and a lot of times we'll do them at Harvard, and I look at those kids walking around, I'm thinking, do they know how smart they are? Do they know?
Now they do, like, yes.
Do they know how lucky, how lucky they
exactly.
are?
Exactly. Yeah. They're smart. Not only smart, but they were lucky enough to get a spot and be able to come here. No, someone could afford to send them.
And I only now realize what an immensely privileged position it is. And it's just, I mean, it's just amazing. So, I wish I knew then. You know, I think I was, you know, people are too young to go to college. They should be older. They should be our age.
True. Yeah.
They'd appreciate it.
They would appreciate it a lot more.
Appreciate it.
Well,
great talking
thank
you to
guys.
You, Aaron.
Thank
and
you, guys.
Kristen, they're the Manic Mommies at manicmommies.com.
It's our pleasure. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, all the best. You guys are doing great. And those, them is the Manic Mommies.
They were funny.
I like them.
I really like listening.
Now I'm
going to
listen to the podcast. Their podcast.
Yeah.
Not our podcast. I've been listening to this all along.
With a Cosmo or wine?
Well, you know, sometimes it'll be a Cosmo, sometimes it'll be wine. Maybe once in a while it'll even be a fine Narragansett beer, but whatever it is, I can assure you, I'll enjoy it. They're great. They're very
funny. They are.
So let's dig into the mailbag, then wrap this guy
up. Okay, let's dig into the mailbag. I solicited some potty training advice at my blog, and I got some good ones.
Are you in that stage?
Yeah, we're getting there. We're starting, yeah.
Oh, boy.
This came from a listener, Holly Dutton.
Yeah.
And she says when she was potty training her son, she had him sit backwards on the toilet and put a DVD player on the top of the tank. Then she cut off all TV watching, except when he was sitting on the toilet.
Wow. I bet that worked.
Yeah, the DVD player on the toilet tank.
The only negative in there is they could spend hours in the bathroom now.
Well, with potty training, you kind of do. I mean, you just got to sit
you
there until
wanna.
It happens.
Yeah.
I don't know how much people are interested in hearing about that.
Well, but, you know, we've all either been there or going there. So.
But I don't know. Who else is going to give you geek potty training tips?
That is
us?
A geek potty training
you
tip.
You ready for another one?
Yeah.
This came from Harris T, and he says, first, we hooked our son on the Game Boy. Yes, there are games that start that young.
I can't believe you could hook a kid 2 years old on a Game Boy.
Then we put the Game Boy next to the potty and declared it a potty-only game. Then he says,
wow.
Game over.
That's actually great. I just didn't realize there were games. Did he tell you what games?
No, he didn't.
I had no idea they had games for kids that little.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting because, like, I guess the thing is, whatever you use, you you take it away.
Right.
Except for
in there.
Yeah. So
that makes sense.
There's a lot. Yeah. It's like people use bribes or, you know, encouragement or whatever. You know, this is sort of.
I'm going to have to ask Jennifer because I don't remember. But my sense of it wasn't that hard.
Yeah. With Annabella, it wasn't. She, you know, other kids were doing it. She wanted to do good old fashioned peer pressure. That's
yeah. She wanted to be a big girl. Yeah.
So now here's another tip from Erica. She says that her 2-year-old daughter Paige and her husband and herself keep in touch with her parents via video iChat.
Oh, that's neat.
About once a week. They live in Central Texas. Her parents are in New Orleans. They gave them a webcam for a Christmas present.
I think that's so cool.
And yeah, and so they get to see the grandparents, and I think they get to know them better. That's what she says.
I don't know why, but you know, I keep trying to do that. My mom's ready to do that, and it's just the kids don't. You know, it's hard to get them to sit still for one thing.
Yeah, when they're two, I guess maybe it's easier. She uses her digital video camera with FireWire connection.
Or you just have a DVD webcam. Player behind the webcam.
Yeah.
Look, it's Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
And they just continue to watch it.
Right. So that's what I found in the mailbag this week.
That's it? You're at the bottom?
I'm at the bottom.
She scraped the bottom of the mailbag.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for episode 5 of the Jumping Monkeys. We'll be back next week. Next week, we're going to talk to Matt Howey.
Yeah, from Metafilter. Very excited.
I love Matt Howey.
Yeah.
He's one of the brightest guys out there, and he's a dad.
Yeah, he is.
So a dad will join us.
It'll be exciting.
I hope you will. That'll be our 4th of July episode, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And lots more great interviews to come. We love hearing from you. Email Megan at twit.tv.
Mm-hmm.
She needs more to fill her mailbag.
I do, yeah. I need more mail and tips and... all kinds.
Anything you'd like to ask help with? No, just send us mail.
Yeah, we did ask for a few things.
Okay.
Rewind.
Rewind.
I think we asked for a few things.
I'm sure we did.
And,
anything you want to send us, we'd love to hear
from
you.
We want this to be your podcast. So if there's something we're doing that you don't like,
that's true.
Tell my dad and he'll tell me.
JumpingMonkeys.com is Megan's blog. And of course, you can see links on her Tumblr, that is jumpingmonkeys.tumblr.com.
Remember, you promised to still listen.
Yeah, even if you see a link, and you know that's coming up, because we're a little, because, well, it's just, they haven't yet got the dates built into Tumblr.
No.
But we'll figure that out. And please go there, and you'll find all of the weird things, including strollers decked out like the Death Star. I'm Leah Laporte. Thank you.
Megan Maroney.
We'll see you next time. Who are you?
I'm Leah Laporte.
And
this is the Screensavers.
This is the Screensavers. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.